think through, what does it mean to be free? What is freedom and what is freedom in Christ? Because if I don't answer that question, really it's kind of tonight is a moot point. So this is the passage. This is the passage in John. And I'm just going to read this, and then we're going to go back through these few verses and look at this. This is Jesus speaking, and let me paint the picture of where we are. Jesus is in the middle of his ministry in John 8. He's done a lot of cool things. He's done a lot of miracles. And he has this thing going. We see Jesus extending grace to all those who were suffering. He always seemed to give grace to those who were suffering. But to the self-righteous, and in those days the Pharisees and a lot of the Jewish people, Jesus wasn't very graceful to them a lot of times. He seemed to be very harsh. He wasn't this nice, meek, and mild Jesus. So it was always, he seemed to be firm and gave law to the self-righteous, and he gave a lot of grace to those who were broken and hurting. You see that over and over. And so it's pretty interesting when you get here. So here's the verse. This is NIV. It's what I'm reading out of, New International Version of the Bible, John 8, 31 through 36. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We're Abraham's descendants, and we've never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it, or a child belongs to it forever. So if the capital son, S-O-N, son sets you free, you'll be free indeed." What's interesting about this verse and what really turns this all on its head is this very first part of this. It starts out and it says, to the Jews who had believed him. And if you think about what we just read, you go, oh, okay, these are believers. These are people that believe Jesus, right? And Jesus says, if you hold to my teaching, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Well, wait, I already thought they were believers. And then you see them get into this banter with Jesus, this pushback that says, hey, I don't know what you're talking about. And if you follow out the next verses of if you follow the next verses, you will see that these people really were not believers. They weren't believers. And so it's interesting to me when it says to those who had believed him. Now, here's the cool part. Now, this is what I found out in preparing for this, because this always bothered me when I read this. These are people that Jesus is talking to that, listen to this, they believed things about Jesus, but they didn't believe in him. There's a distinction. They believed things that Jesus taught, but they had not put their trust in him. The NIV makes this distinction. Actually, the Message Bible makes this distinction. Some of the translations don't, because the NIV says to those who had believed him. In other words, believed what he had been saying. So here's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with people. We're dealing with those who are starting to believe in Jesus, but aren't really there. And one of the things I talk about over and over in this class is giving you permission where you are in your doubt and unbelief. Jesus does not commend our doubt, but he doesn't commend it, but he also doesn't stomp it out. Because in a sense, he's calling people from where they are in their belief. Like, I'm kind of there. For the people who believed Jesus, he said, if you keep on holding to my teaching, if you'll continue, you will arrive at the truth. And at that point, the truth will set you free. And then, how do they respond? They say, we're Abraham's descendants. We've never been slaves to anyone. Okay, anybody in Bible fellowship at Temple on Sundays, what do we know about what they just said? What do we know about this statement? Do what now? Abraham's descendants were slaves, right? But it seems that they're kind of denying that, right? So Jesus is trying to talk to them about their slavery and their history, but they're kind of in denial about this, right? And so there's a sense where we've never been slaves to anyone. And so Jesus goes on and says, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And really, freedom in Christ, this is what this is about. You'll get a picture of this more as we move through this. But here's the points I want to bring out to this. When Jesus starts with where we are in our belief, he doesn't He doesn't say, oh, you don't believe God, like all of this. You don't just completely believe this. Well, forget it. I don't have any room for you. Spurgeon gave an illustration of my son, we're trying to teach him to start a fire with this little flint set. You know, Boy Scouts, they get out there and start this. And it's like a spark, Spurgeon says, that God takes and he nurtures it. You got to be real careful. The wind blows on it. You got to get it just right. You got a little oxygen in, and you nurture that flame. And so belief, God, Jesus right now, even in dealing with these people that were hard and obstinate, he's trying to encourage their belief. And then the second part is the fact that they were blinded to their history and blinded to their own sin. The truth is we all have blind spots. We all have areas of our lives that we cannot see. And part of this class is asking God, Lord, show me areas in my life where I couldn't see. Now, here's the deal. If I ask you today what your blind spots are, you would say, we don't know. We don't know what they are, because that's what a blind spot is. It's an area that we can't see. And the truth is, we all have them. Psalm 51, David prayed. He said, God, I know you desire truth in the inner places. There's parts in our heart. There's inner places in our heart that really where we keep secrets. And really what we've come to find out and what I've experienced and what a lot of people in this room will share is that we all carry things privately, right, that seem to sabotage our life. And the church, especially a church like this, is a place where we come and we may want to perform, we want to look the part. And I've played Christian for a lot of my life, but my heart was left unchanged for the most part. And so what we get into here really is heart motivation and why you do what you do. Because the difference in these people and Jesus, they all looked like good Jews. They all looked like good Christians. But it was really heart motivation. And then lastly is when Jesus said, I tell you the truth, when the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Anything that holds us bondage, we talk about a lot of stuff in this class. Anything that holds us bondage, Jesus can set us free from. There is nothing that God cannot do. And what this comes out of is a birth in my own life. If Christ has the answer, if we have the power of God, if God raises Jesus from the dead and we are Christian believers, where is the power of God in our generation to change? Not look good, but to change us from the inside out. And really, that's what this is about. Jesus came to deliver his followers not only from the penalty of sin, which is all I heard growing up. Give your heart to Jesus so that you don't go to hell when you die. This is much recommended, okay? But the rest of this and what Jesus is talking about in this passage we just read is not just from the penalty of sin, but also from the power of sin. He just said, if you're a slave to sin, you can't help it. But if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Jesus came to deliver us from the power of sin in our life. I'm not talking about perfection. This is not a class about how to do everything exactly right. But this is a time for us to do some heart examination and ask God, what are the things that can keep us stuck? A little quick story for me, and you've heard me mention it, and you'll hear more through the course, but this statement would have summarized my Christian experience. My Christian growth is primarily dependent upon my efforts to maintain Christian disciplines or practices. That was my mantra. And if you read that and you go, you know, there's really nothing wrong with that statement. It is, right? It's kind of up to me and how good, like I do, like it doing all this, you know, I got to read my Bible and need to pray, and we got to go to church, and I need to do all those things. And so however much of that I can do, it's kind of up to me to do that. But see, Jesus came to give us abundant life through a relationship with him, and you can perform all of these things and really never have a connection to him. And that's what he was after in that passage. To those who had started to believe in him, Jesus is calling us closer in to a relationship with himself. See, it's God's grace that ultimately is the source of what we do, right? And here's more important, why we do it. And so you all got here for a different reason. You know, we're all here going through the motions. And I pray that some of you find this as a surprise, that I'm not really, didn't know this is what this was, but This is not about us going through the motions to be good Christian people. This is about getting to know the God who started this whole story and sent His Son to build back a relationship that you and I could know God. We'll get into it in subsequent weeks, but when the fall happened, man went in from intimate knowing through relationships to data about things. We're data-driven. We want to know things. And you can know plenty about this book, and you can know plenty about the God in this book, and you can miss the God in this book. All right? I've been talking a lot. Sometimes I do a pause and do a commercial. Y'all get used to that. It's heavy. Just take a breath. Everybody okay? Okay. I made this up. I make up slides. Did you know 90% of statistics are made up on the spot? It was a joke. All right. So here's what this is. This is spiritual maturity. Like if you're, this is spiritual maturity, and this is your life going this way. And this is, you were walking in darkness. You know, you didn't know Jesus and kind of doing your own thing. And then boom, the light comes on. And you receive Christ, and your journey begins spiritually. And so this line is your journey in Christ through your life, and this represents Bob. I just made that up. Bob, this is Bob's life, and you know Bob's gone to glory now, but this was his life while he was on the earth. I just, again, making this up as I go. And this is our growth in Christ's likeness and holiness, and this is not our performance, but this is God working in us. There's several verses that I can give us, but He who began a good work in us will carry it to completion in Christ Jesus. There's several verses about maturing in Christ, right? Growing into Christ's likeness, which is the same as holiness. So these areas is what I want to point out right here is sometimes on your journey, we all get saved and we get really excited for Jesus and we got that dip. Everybody has the dip, right? Well, they really wasn't saved or, you know, whatever. They're not on fire for God anymore. And during these periods of our life, and we find them throughout these dips, this is a great time to go through something like freedom in Christ, because freedom in Christ is about not maturity. This is not, this class will help you toward maturity, but this is really about spiritual health. Healthy things grow. Healthy plants grow. Healthy kids grow. Healthy people grow. And so this is about resolving things that may have kept you from growing. And then the other ones, or this other area I circled, is this plateau stages where you've kind of been like, you know, sometimes in the Lord there's just seasons where it's just kind of like you're just walking and you're reading the Bible and you're praying and you're doing all the stuff, but there's no connection with God. There's no spiritual connection. There's no, as Jonathan Edwards say, there's nothing that is that's tending to our affections. We don't sense God. Right. And so this season, this class is really good for folks that are in those, because this is really about what are the things, right, that are keeping us from connecting with God? What are they? And they change throughout our lives. You can be a more mature Christian and still get to a stage where something stumps you. Right. You could be older and have a divorce. You could lose a child. Some awful things could happen. You could get stuck there. And spiritually, it could keep you from progressing down with the Lord. And so that's kind of where this fits. If you're like, where does this fit on my spiritual growth? Everybody could benefit from this at a season in their life. And really, what JJ and I have discovered for us, it's really something we go back to personally when we find ourselves kind of on that stretch in the desert trying to grow and try, like, what's wrong? Like, I'm not hearing from God. What's happening? I don't sense God. And so that's what some of this is. I'm going to give a brief overview of the rest of the class and what this looks like in 13 weeks, what we'll talk about. This class sets no one free. There's no process in the world. It's really Jesus Christ is the connection. He is the bondage breaker. He is the one that sets us free through believing the truth. And what we'll find as we look at some of this is we really are struggling with chronic unbelief. There's areas of our lives where we truly don't believe God will come through for us. We don't believe it. We don't talk like that, but we just don't believe God. We don't believe this book. And Jesus comes to us and says, to those who had believed in things about Jesus, Jesus says, if you hold to this, and what we do find, you're like, well, that's unattainable. That's like saying a relationship with your spouse is unattainable. It's a relationship. It's not something you accomplish. Well, I got married. Check that off my list. Let's see what's next. You never get efficient. This is not efficiency. And so much of my life was about, guys, I went to seminary. I took every class I could take. I'm like, I got to jump all through all these hoops for God. And once I finally get there, then all of a sudden God's going to accept me and I'm going to have this connection with Him. And what you find out is the faster you go, the more empty you get. The faster you go to get it, because guess what? It's not something that you earn. And the truth is, most of us really struggle with healthy relational intimacy. And then we're asked to relate to this God, right? And so this is a class, and this is not, it's different because it's, in a sense, it's really about pushing us to get to the core issues of our lives. And here's the cool part. I don't know what yours are. You don't know what mine is unless I tell you. But God does. And God has sent a helper to help us to identify this. And if we're honest with God and we want to know, God will show us. He will show us if we want to know. And sometimes we're like, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. All right, so here's the summary. Greg, I'm going to get to the books in a minute. So here's what it looks like. There are about 13 weeks in the class. And this, again, it's a class, but it's a ministry, and I'll talk about what that works for. We're going to talk about where you came from. We talk about the fall. We talk about what happened at the fall and how generationally with Adam and Eve, what we've received through them. We talk about really who we are now, and this is the biggest part of the class. We talk a lot in the beginning about identity. All of us live out of who we see that we are, right? Guys, first question is, what do you do for a living? So if you, whatever your role is, then all of a sudden you take on that role and that's like your identity. You're like, no, but that's what you do. That's not who you are. Well, I'm this or I'm that. Those are areas of our life. But what we talk about is this new identity that we have as sons and daughters of God. If we don't see ourselves as being related to God, we won't live like that. And so we talk about identity. We never get beyond that because many of us are trying to become something that Jesus already made us, right? And really, it's trying to believe that and receive what God has said about us. Most of the teaching, we're going to be in Ephesians because this teaching comes out of Ephesians in our new identity. And again, identity is who God says that we are now that we're believers. This is who we are. And the truth is we don't see ourselves like that. We'll talk about that. Choosing to believe the truth, the choice that we have, our role and our responsibility. Then the second part, we're like, well, since we got this new identity and we're all this awesome stuff, you're telling me I'm a new creation, why don't I feel like it? Well, the problem is we have resistance. We have the world, the flesh, and the devil. We talk about worldviews, the truth, and I'm not going to get lost in real deep post-millennial modernism. I'm going to get into the things that I believe that keep me trapped. My Western thinking that really has explained away the supernatural from my day-to-day. Daily choice, demolishing strongholds. We've all built patterns in our life over time. Some of those patterns are certainly unhealthy, and we're going to talk about what does it take to break free of those. We could all share what are things the culture struggles with. So in order to save embarrassment, we'll jump in there. Guys, pornography. We're going to talk about eating disorders, cutting, stealing, and you're like, oh, class about that. The focus is not on the problem. The focus is on what we're supposed to be, because part of the problem is not the problem. Our problems aren't our problem. Our problem is we think our problem's the problem. That's not the problem. The problem is that we're not looking to Christ. And so much of our identity is shame-based, because truthfully, when we find out what's going on in each other's life, it's really nasty. Right, we're struggling. We're struggling in areas, but the whole goal is not to. Well, you got to overcome that. You don't look at that to overcome that. You look to Christ. Right? He sets us free, and the focus is not on what you shouldn't be doing. The focus is on Him, and so this is different. It's a different view, but we have to acknowledge it. And then ultimately, the battle for the mind. I love saying this. I'm gonna go ahead. I'll say it later. Like I'm up here talking right now, and something's going on in everybody's brain. And if you don't understand the spiritual implications for what's happening in your mind right now, you will be left to defeat day after day after day. I had completely explained away supernatural influence of evil. Spiritual warfare is real. And the battleground is our minds. And if you don't understand and know what's going on for your mind, all that you will be left with is feeling really bad about everything that you're thinking. There is a battle for our minds, and the Scripture is very clear, right, for our role. And here's the cool part. We're told to take thoughts captive and renew our mind and all these different things. Here's some personal responsibility. God doesn't do that for you. Jesus Take the Wheel is a great Christian song. It is bad theology. You take these thoughts captive. You be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's something that we're to do, and we take an active role in that. We're going to talk about that. Then we'll be moving in. This will be right around Easter. We'll get again to breaking strongholds, handling emotions real well, and then forgiving from the heart. A big part of this is root causes, and we all have forgiveness. Like, this is usually a big part of this, is the reason I'm stuck, right, is because of what they did to me. And I'll go ahead and free you up right now. We all here are living today with the consequences of other people's sin. You don't have a choice in that. You are living today with the consequences of what other people did, and you didn't get a choice in it. You didn't get a choice, but you're suffering from it today. And unless you resolve any bitterness around that, you will be left to wander around in circles, and you wonder why we're not growing. Paul said in 1 Corinthians to be sure to forgive a brother or sister in Christ because you don't want to give Satan a foothold. What does that look like? It's part of this. And then we'll take... It won't be a break, but Sundays in April, I don't know how many Sundays, maybe two, or there's a group like this, maybe three Sundays in April, we'll have a prayer retreat. And here's what it looks like. We're not bringing goats and lambs, none of that. If y'all don't even know what that means, I'm just being Old Testament silly. We'll come up here, 2 o'clock. We will basically split off into these rooms. We've got these little prayer guides that we give you, and we coach you through working through some of these issues, you and God. And then these folks that I've mentioned earlier tonight that have been through this before will be here if you need some help to kind of help process some of this, help you work through this, because this is real. This is real. There's a lady down the hall 20 years ago. She ran into this teaching, and she was struggling. She was struggling. I just talked to her, suicidal thoughts. And she said she had her little prayer book, and they were going to get to it in a few weeks. And she said, my husband went out of town, and she said, I woke up in the middle of the night, and she said, I knew if I did not pray through these issues in my life that I would take my life that night. And she said, it wasn't a matter of me going to a prayer retreat. Like, she said, I needed this. And so it's not about the prayer retreat. It's about you coming to grips and being real with God about any issue that has you stuck. The prayer retreat doesn't set you free. Giving this to the Lord. And so what the prayer retreat is, really, it gives you words to say. Some of us are so locked up and confused, I don't know where to start. It's kind of like catechisms. There's things to pray through that helps you verbalize what you've been sensing in your own life. And so it gives you some handles. Some of you will come through this and be a huge benefit to you, and you'll go, you know what? I feel like now I can actually help other believers. Like, I can help my friends that are struggling. And that's what this is. Christ wants to use his body to build up the church and to help each other. And so this is as much about you getting equipped as it is finding your own freedom. When you get through the prayer meet, we come back in here for like 4 weeks, and we process what it means to walk free. Because there's a difference in finding freedom and kind of moving through that stuff and then staying that way. And so we talk about what does it mean to kind of stay free, walking in freedom every day, how to relate to others. There's a little teaching there on relationships and expectations. We talk about that some. And really wrongly defending ourselves. This is a unique teaching here, how we're defensive. Where you're heading and then staying on the right path. John and Jay will help me in these last sections teach through some of this as we get to the end. But this is kind of an overview. These are the sessions that we'll be talking through and working through over the next 13 weeks.